what I was planning on. We're going to go to Acts chapter 5. The Lord changed my mind this afternoon and preach on the attributes of a hypocrite. So I was watching some of you and I said, I need to change my sermon. No, that is not the case at all. It's a message, actually, that I prepared several years ago when I was in New Guinea. But Acts chapter 5, the Lord, I guess the other sermon will be another Sunday night, did not have any peace when I was looking at it. So anyway, let's go to Acts chapter 5. I believe the Lord has something for us here tonight. I believe there's a reason why he's directed this way. So let's take a look at this. Acts chapter 5, starting there in verse 1, says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, with his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost." The Lord killed him. That's immediate church discipline right there. "And great fear came on all them that heard these things." You know, if the Lord would do that for each church with one person, great fear would come upon us. It would work. Any volunteers tonight? But hopefully we've learned from this. So the Lord's showing grace here. I'm just going to do it with this church and we'll go from there. "And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much." A whole other separate lesson here, but there is self-accountability here. Okay, for each person, even though this is the wife here, you are accountable for your actions. "Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which hath buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down, and straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband." Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you for your word, and Lord, I ask your blessing upon the service tonight, Father. Please work. Fill me with your Spirit. Control what I say and how I say it, Lord. Meet the needs that are here. Lord, if there's anyone here who does not truly know Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, I beg you that you would work. And even tonight, Lord, they would come to faith in Christ. Lord, I love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ananias and Sapphira, they tried to represent something that they were not. That is pretty much the definition of a hypocrite. Again, this is that the church is just exploding at this point in time, and so really they're trying to figure out how to get everything organized here in the first church. At this time, there's only one church that exists. That is the church at Jerusalem. And so part of this was, you know, people are selling different things, bringing things together to try and meet the needs. You had a lot of needs. When you have a few thousand get saved in one day, it can tend to create some different needs, especially when most of those did not even live in Jerusalem. They were traveling there for the feast that was going on at Pentecost. And so anyhow, what they agreed to do is this. They wanted to look good like everybody else was. So they had some property they were going to sell to help with this. So they sold it. And they basically lied about how much they sold it for. They wanted to act like they were giving all of it. All right? So they came in and Ananias said, listen, we just sold property and we are going to give to the church everything that we just sold it for. Now, they could have said half. They could have said whatever they wanted to and be honest before it, but they did not. They were wanting to appear to be something that they were not. And so, of course, Peter knows, the Holy Spirit, you know, connects with Peter's heart right there, and Peter knows that they're lying, and man, the God's, you know, justice is sort of laid out right there, that discipline takes place. And could you imagine being in that service? I mean, one, it had been awkward enough just to hear Peter question them on it in front of everybody. He didn't wait in a back room. He didn't say, you know what, I need to talk to you after service. I mean, right there, he hit him with that, and that would have been awkward. And then to see him, you're dead. And then, of course, 3 hours later, the wife comes, and the exact same thing takes place. You know, when it comes to hypocrisy, you know, many times, I think it's something you don't even realize you're doing. I do. I think there's times that you can justify it. Some are just, I remember I heard a sermon once, as a matter of fact, I might have been a teenager or early 20s. I mean, it's been a long time ago, but I still do remember the message. It was a good sermon on hypocrisy. Actually, it was a sermon about how we're all hypocrites. And it was really a good message, actually a very encouraging message. This will not be an encouraging message tonight. But it dealt with how at some level, you know, and how you handle that, though, in your life. This is certainly a preventative message tonight. What I want to do with this message tonight is try and take, and we're going to look at the attributes. What happens in the life of a hypocrite? What can you look in your own life to identify if there's some problems there with hypocrisy? You see, because as we're going to see throughout Scripture, as we see here in Acts chapter 5, it is something the Lord takes very serious. Remember, the Lord is interested in your heart. And so when there's something wrong there, when you're trying to pretend to be something that you're not, this is something the Lord takes very serious. All right? And too often we can fall into a trap with our life where we begin to lead a hypocritical life. We begin to do things for show or for different motivations that aren't proper to begin with, and then you fall into the trap of hypocrisy in your life. And so we're going to start off here looking at the traits of a hypocrite. Let's go over to Mark chapter 7 for the first one. We're going to look at, I think, at five here. Four. We're going to look at four of those tonight. Mark chapter 7. And let's go to verse 6. Mark chapter 7 and verse 6. He answered, Jesus Christ is responding here in this conversation with the Pharisees. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. One of the attributes, and again, we're going to look at these four different attributes, and again, it's something to examine in our own life to see if it's taking place in our own life. You might have all four of these, you might have one of these. But one mark of a hypocrite, one mark of hypocrisy in your life is where you have lip service without the heart. You have enough knowledge for the talk of the Christian life, or to you it might be better to put it, the Christian game. All right. You have the knowledge. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home your whole life. You have the words down, but you certainly recognize that your heart isn't there. You have the lip service without the heart. That is a mark of a hypocrite. That is the mark of a hypocrite, when you have the lip service without your heart behind it. Sometimes this one will manifest itself with those who have the walk, but they don't have the talk. You might have the walk while you're at church, but it's your walk as you come in this building, you know, you can fool all of us. We're dealing with your walk when you're out at work. We're dealing with your walk when you're home alone. We're dealing with those times that matter, not just when you come into this building, but, you know, what is it like when you leave here? What is it like when you leave here? Look over in Psalm chapter 78, showing again, you can have the knowledge, but your heart can be far from it. Get this. This is some interesting verses right here if you really haven't paid attention to them when you have read. And there's a lot of truth here. We could just preach right here on these verses. I am going to start verse 35. Get this. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their redeemer. But let's read on. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. It's interesting, isn't it? They had knowledge about God of being the Redeemer. They had knowledge about God being their rock. They would even flat. They had the talk down. They had the lip service, just like Jesus Christ was talking about there in Mark chapter 7. But the heart wasn't there. It wasn't there. You can have the knowledge without the understanding and the wisdom and the heart behind it. You know, at times, even when you're dealing with people on an individual basis, whether it's in counseling or whatever the case might be, sometimes it's hard because people have the knowledge. The key is getting that knowledge to the heart. It's not always, see, one of the key things, you know, with our own Christian walk is being able to, you know, it's not just the knowledge alone that does it. All right? Your heart is so important with this. You can have all the facts down. You can know all the boxes you are supposed to check with your walk with God. You can have all the boxes checked to have your marriage right. You can have all your parenting boxes checked. But please understand, it is not a technique that is key. It is your heart. You can be flattering God with your lips, but yet He knows where your heart is. He knows where your heart is. Again, when your heart is not behind your service, you will become inconsistent with your service. Lip service will be the norm for you. You'll be up and down, up and down, up and down when your heart is not there. This attitude can carry over into the preaching of the Word of God. Look over to Ezekiel chapter 33. In New Guinea, in village life in a jungle setting, your life is literally an open book. Right? There's not hiding too much that takes place when you're in a village setting. And they had something that we call in the language there, lotu pasen. Pasen is it's actually a great word in the language. It has a lot to do with your character, with who you really are, or how you act. And context determines how you use that word. Lotu is the word for church or religion or worship. You would use it. And so they had what they called lotu pasen. And so lotu pasen was everybody there even though they were on the island, went to a church of some sort. There was no gospel preaching churches. There was primarily, what I said, either Catholic or what they would call united, something unique to the country of New Guinea. So we had one of those two choices, and one of those would be in every single one of them. And so, again, I don't know if you remember, on my first furlough, I had a presentation from there where I actually showed men who were calling in evil spirits. You see them literally getting demon-possessed on the video. All right, and I was the one filming that. So they're calling him in. Those men will be at a church service on Sunday. They'll be there. And so hypocrisy was a... And so anyhow, so as I am trying to work with the gospel and getting these people saved, I had trouble with this lotu pasen. One way on Sunday, and then once you leave church, it's tradition, it's whatever you are. Well, of course, that's not how it should be at all. There should be a change. It should be God getting a hold of your heart where it's just not it's not what you do for church. It's not one way at church and another way at home. It should be consistent. Ezekiel, I got off track there a little bit. For time's sake here, I was going to start there in verse 30. Let's jump to verse 31. You know, verse 30 says, I'll finish with the end of verse 30. Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. Verse 31, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And so you begin to see the Bible developing. I'm going to read more here in just a second. You begin to see the Bible developing some of the sins behind hypocrisy, what leads to it, like covetousness. And lo, thou art unto thee. Now this is, I love how the almost like the Lord's sense of humor here. So when Ezekiel would preach, this was the people's attitude toward them. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song, one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. I always enjoy reading that. I don't know. I guess I'm the only one here who's looking at me like I'm crazy. But he's telling them, listen, you're there, and they like to hear you. Boy, that's a nice voice, but they're not about to do anything about it. Even though the truth is presented, they're not actually there to see how they can change their life. And this is coming truth, again, from the Creator who actually has the answer for their life. But in this case, what led to their hypocrisy was the covetousness that was there. They knew that this was a sin they would have to repent of in order to be right with God, but they weren't willing to do that. Covetousness is a dangerous sin. So one of the traits that we've seen, or the first trait of a hypocrite that we've seen, is you have lip service, but your heart is not there. Number two, you'll have false motivation for your service. Let's get more specific with this one. Matthew chapter 23. I had a case one time, for instance, the Low Two Pass, and I was fairly new there, and I had to get into a case of church discipline almost immediately. And we weren't there for a really long time, and there was a case of adultery that had come up that wasn't going to be repented of. And at first I thought it was fine. It was very public, and I went to the person and said, you know, this is a married man. We can't have this. Wait for the right guy. The Lord will provide it. She came back and said, I'm going to go to the church and say I'm sorry. Great. All right? Perfect. So she came forward, stood before the church and said, I'm sorry. And then continued the relationship, never left it. And thought, well, that's what you do. In church, I'm supposed to come say I'm sorry. And I said, no, that's not how this works. You have to actually repent of the sin. That's how this works. And so then it actually had to go into discipline, which took about 2 years before that finally repented of the sin and came back at that time. Matthew chapter 23, verses 6 and 7. Here's why Jesus was addressing, of course, the religious leaders of his day. And you know what? That's what I, as a pastor, have to look out for this, because as you can see, you see what we just saw examples of with any layman or any person that is claiming to serve God. It's also very much prone to those who are in leadership before serving God to be careful of this sin. And here's the Pharisees, and it says, again, speaking of them, and verse 6, we'll pick it up, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Christ is, you know, exposing their heart right before them. He's saying the reason why you like this, your motivation for this, has nothing to do because you love the Lord God Almighty with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. You like the prestige that the position is giving you. You like it when they put you in the nice chair. You like it when they address you as rabbi. You're enjoying the titles. This is all a false motivation for why you're serving God. And so, again, something to look out for. Many times a false motivation can get in, and it's no longer about the glory of God. It's about the recognition that can come with it. Again, and remember this. This is so true. And I'll probably finish up with this verse later on, but if you are serving God for recognition here, that's all the reward you're going to get. Think, we're here for such a short time. Eternity is really long when you try to think about it. Really long time. We're here for just a blip. And what you do in this blip, though, has eternal consequences. Some under this will simply serve over, this is still under really a false motivation. Some serve for personal gain. Look at Isaiah chapter 58. Look at Isaiah chapter 58. This is another interesting section of verses here. Isaiah chapter 58, let's start in verse 2. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. Boy, it sounds good so far, doesn't it? It's getting ready to change. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasures and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? It is to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? In other words, he say their very worship, in this case dealing with fasting, he said that was pure hypocrisy. You were thinking it was about drawing unto me, but it certainly was not. This was dealing with your own personal gain before God. That again, it wasn't about the Lord. The heart wasn't there. And when the heart isn't there, you open yourself up to hypocrisies. Even if it can appear before others that, wow, look how spiritual that is. But the heart behind it is so important. Again, this can be those who look for their service to God as a means to say, I'll show you. When it comes to serving God, it needs to be done for God. We really do serve, live for Him, and after that, for others. Not the show for others, but the service to others. Some simply desire to serve or do what's right so others will begin to notice and think highly. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Again, this is all different false motivations. And again, the reason why I start off with Acts, I'm trying to keep this in perspective because everything, all these things I am dealing with, we are all prone to. And we see how serious the Lord takes it here in the New Testament in Acts chapter 5 in relation to Ananias and Sapphira. And how strongly Christ, of course, preached against it. Matthew chapter 6, let me get there. And, of course, we're going to be here in just a few weeks on Sunday morning. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. We're jumped down to, I believe it's, verse 6, the Lord sort of gives the cure for all this. Let's jump to verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Many times you begin to serve God and get in it just so others can begin to think highly of you. You're really missing what it's all about. Again, the Pharisees were doing it again because of, again, the attention it brought and the respect that it brought, but they were not worried about having God's respect in their life and what God thought about it. They were literally, and that's the danger of hypocrisy, using the Lord Jesus Christ, using the Creator Almighty for selfish gain. They were using His service for their own wickedness. Happens way too often nowadays. Way too often. John chapter 6. Let's go over there. John chapter 6. And as you, I did not read verse 6 there of Matthew 6 where we just were, but the Lord says, listen, He will reward you. Just like I was talking about this morning, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. Let me get there. I haven't got there myself yet. Some begin to serve God, and this one is here, for carnal reasons, actually. John chapter 6, let's go all the way to verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." For carnal reasons. Now, let me touch this one a little bit. Serving God certainly does bring blessings. I mean, He gives us different motivations throughout the Word of God that we can't ignore when we're addressing the subject. For instance, Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You know, but understand, there's when the Lord is approaching, in all the cases throughout Scripture, I believe that is the case, what He's saying is, that is dealing with a matter of faith. The Lord knows that at times we can get so consumed with the things of this world and even meeting our needs with this world that we sort of set God aside. So the Lord over and over again makes promise after promise. Listen, if you will just put me first, those needs will be taken care of. All right? If you will honor me and put me first, I'm going to supply what you need in your life. Now, please don't listen to Joel Osteen or the charismatic movement. He hasn't promised to go buy you a $1 million house or you know, all that. That's a bunch of nonsense. What He promises to do is to meet your need. Matter of fact, if the Lord knows that if He was to give you an abundance of wealth that it might pull you from Him, He will never direct you in that way. Never. He knows what you can handle and what you can't handle. And so here, though, what it's dealing with is those that really get into this thing of serving God simply as a result of the blessings. All right? There's something wrong there. You're still missing. This is all about the Creator, the one who spoke it and this universe came into existence. And we have the privilege through His grace and His mercy to serve Him. Third thing I want to point out about hypocrisy. Look in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Here's the danger for us. This is a danger for us when we're here at church, when you're home, all right, before your family, when you're at work and they know you attend church. Okay? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 11. Let's look at this verse here. Verse chapter 9. Proverbs 11 and verse 9. "An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor." A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. Many who profess Christ with their mouth, but their action does not follow, it has devastating consequences on others. We are the ambassadors for Jesus Christ. I can't even get out the names of this, but when we were in Alaska before, I was still in the Air Force at the time, and I lived here, and I had a neighbor here, and another fellow who attended here was on the other side. And I don't even know how I should say this, because some of you might remember who I'm talking about, and I don't want that. But there were times I'd have to go outside and stop the one from the church because of his testimony before our neighbor. Whatever arguments would ensue, I'm like, I can't believe I'm hearing this. I have to go out there and say his name and say, "Go back in your house. Just go back in." And of course, this fellow knows we attend the same church. We go to the same church. He would see him Sunday morning as he goes to get in his car with his Bible and shuts the car. And it's almost like you get in your car and you know what you do? You get a mask on. It comes off. That old life, you just left it. You're going to leave it for 1 hour while you go to church. So you can go pretend to be something you're not. And then we have the guy next to us who just, you know, and I could see it. As we had our neighbor there, I watched as he ended up, the guy in the middle between us, going through a divorce. His family being destroyed. Do you think he wanted to come to me for help? No. No. No, he knew what church I went to. The same guy, the other one that he was always fighting with every day. Now, let's just bring this home inside of our own house. Boy, there's a danger there. Now, listen, I want to be careful here when I say this. All of us, none of us are perfect. You understand that? None of us are. There's not a, listen, teenagers, don't use this against your parents. There's not a single parent in here who hasn't been a hypocrite in his home. Not one of us. You understand that? But parents, listen to me. If you're making a pattern of it, you are setting your family up for disaster. If they see it when they're getting in the car, they know all of a sudden mom, dad get in the car, they're in the back seat. Huh. Well, look at that. Nice music is on. Huh. I haven't heard that all week. Then they pull in the church and they're like, my dad can be a really kind man. Wow. I think he just opened mom's door. That's amazing. I never heard mom with such a sweet voice before. Did she just compliment dad? Wow. And then they see when you're back in the car to go home, the mask comes off, and boom, it breaks out. When there's a pattern of that, you're setting your family up for destruction. You're setting your family up for destruction. We can take this into where our witness is at work. Where we are to be the light and the salt. Remember that salt dealt a lot with your character in your life. And the fourth thing here, they also lack self, an attribute of a hypocrite, the fourth one here, they lack self-examination. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 4 and 5. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Another attribute of a hypocrite is somebody who is fantastic at seeing the faults in everybody else. Really good at that. But he doesn't see anything wrong with himself. Or if it does, it's minimized. It's minimized. Again, he can pick out what everybody else is doing wrong. They have this down, the faults in others. But they seldom find fault with themselves. They lack the ability to recognize their own wretched condition before God. And that's a common attribute. You have to ask yourself that. If you are always great at seeing the sin in everybody else's life, but you rarely have that attitude for yourself, you just might be a hypocrite. You know, we can probably do a list of those things that could be in there, that you could look at your own life and say, man, I better look at these. And it could be any one of these, or it could be a combination of these things that we're looking at. But you can get into that rut. You know, we tend to forget, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And a danger is, and this isn't necessarily just limited to hypocrisy, but I'll cover it now. Certainly it would be included in it, but it wouldn't be the attitude. You can have this attitude without necessarily being a hypocrite. But if you want to find something wrong with somebody, you can do it. It's not hard. If you want to find it. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes there's genuine need for concern. All right, I'm not dismissing all that by no means. That would be crazy and insane. We are to be sanctified. There is a progressive sanctification that should be taking place in our life. But I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, you can get to a point where you are going to find the fault in your wife. You're going to find the fault in your husband. You're going to find the fault in this church. You can do it. Anyhow, an attribute of a hypocrite is they lack self-examination. You know, they're great at using the Word of God. You know, it's kind of like a mirror with a backing on it. They kind of hold it up like this. They never bother to turn it around to see themselves. All right, now, let me finish up with the second point in this is the cure. for hypocrisy. This is not going to be exhaustive by any means, but I do want to give a little bit of help here in closing. Because I'm sure it's something at times that all of us battle with. We can get into that thing, as I mentioned this morning, of Facebook Christianity. Again, I'm not, point was, wasn't going to face, I have a Facebook account myself, but I'm saying it can be used inappropriately, and sometimes this is certainly one of the areas that that can take place. For some who have this condition, now this is really important. We're still in the book of Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 25. I want to show you something here. For some, this would definitely be those who are constantly battling with this. You never seem to get victory over it. You might have a whole other problem. Matthew chapter 25, I'm going to start in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, and they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Now here, we have the 10 virgins here. You have those with the oil in their lamp, half of them, and half without oil in their lamp. That oil, the lamp is would be representative of a profession of faith. All right, one who says, I am a born-again Christian. They have prayed the prayer. They have made that confession. But that's all they have, is a profession of faith. What they lack is the oil inside, which is God's Holy Spirit. It's a vain profession of faith. For some, the answer is they need to be saved. They can't help but live a hypocritical life because they're not a real Christian. There's no genuine conversion that is taking place. The oil isn't present. The Spirit of God isn't there, and you're in a church trying to serve Him with all that you have, with the only way that you can, and that is through carnal reasons. You will constantly battle with hypocrisy. It'll never get to a place where you can simply serve God because you love Him. The conversion needs to take place in your heart. So that's one thing. For some, might not be anyone here at all. I don't have anyone in mind for any of this, but I'm just saying I know for some, they simply need to get saved and get a new heart. Secondly, now for the saved. And thinking of this, you know, there's different ways, you know, we can go about with different helps. But with this one, I know one that I try to draw from to help me, you know, stay away from this and stay on a right path. And that is recognizing the realness of God, all right, the reality of Him. Because none of us here have seen God. We haven't. We walk by faith and not by sight. And it's sometimes within that opens the, not the walking by faith, understand the fact of that we have not seen God, that sometimes we lack the reality of God, and that opens us up to hypocrisy. I believe, again, practicing the realness of God helps. It helps keep it real. That you might be able to recognize, understand, when you come to church, this is the Lord's house. And, of course, we certainly should have honor and respect here. I mean, this is where the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God take place. And so we want to treat it with the respect that it deserves. But understand, when you're home, the Lord is there. He's there. You know, when you go to get on your computer, He's right there. You know, maybe you're getting ready to go to one site, and you know that if I walked in your house to come in for a visit, that would quickly close out. But if you had practiced the reality of God, the realness of Him, you would understand He's right there. He's right there. Practicing the reality of God, the realness of God. Practicing, remember I preached a sermon, it was going back into the time we're going through the series on Philippians, about practicing the presence of God in your life. It really does very effective at shutting the doors to the different avenues that hypocrisy takes. Practicing the realness of God. Again, the more as your faith grows and you have that strong awareness of God Almighty and of God seeing everything you do, it really does help prevent you to stay steadfast in your faith with a right motivation before Him. And remember, it's not just, let me touch base on that. It's not just that it prevents us, you know, the presence of God from going into sin, but it's a great motivation. I mean, think about this. Let's say you are scheduled to sing on Wednesday night, all right? And you find out that in truth, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be sitting right there. How would you prepare? I mean, if you're saved, I believe you would forget about all of us. And that's the one you'd be singing for. You forget about everything else. Again, practicing the presence of God, it really does close the door. Because again, so it motivates you to do right, because then there's nothing wrong with wanting to sing to impress Him. Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing wrong to be able to sing or serve God or go to church or stay faithful with your devotion so that one day you could hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Nothing wrong with that at all. And the more you realize the reality of His presence, the more it helps you to say, all right, that's the one I'm going to please. I'm going to please the Lord. It helps with it. It really does. Thirdly, another help in avoiding hypocrisy in our life, I believe, is a heart that draws close to God. You know, remember, over and over, Jesus said this even in the Old Testament, the heart is far from me. The heart is far from me. The heart is far from me. So we go back to Proverbs, you better guard your heart. Do you understand that? You better guard your heart. Because the devil will use different sins that will come in, the sin of covetousness. All right? So in other words, the danger of covetousness is with many sins. We're getting ready to cover sins of the heart when we get into Matthew next week. It is something that has your heart. There's something else there that has your heart. The only one who should have your heart is God. It should be Him. And listen, that happens in, I, again, I've been around ministries that were nothing about the glory of God. I've seen it active, not just in a secular sense in a work environment. I've seen this in ministries where it was about covetousness and pride and not about God. Lastly, the last helper, I'll close with this, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Be down here in just a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start there in verse 10. And of course, when I read verse 10, you're going to understand where I'm going. But I want to take this, I want you to notice how the Lord takes the next several verses in regards to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, my main point for this last one to help us is the fact that understanding you are going to face a judgment. You will stand before Him one day and give an account of your stewardship before the Lord. But let's continue. So the main thing I'm going at here is verse 10, but I want you to watch this. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend you, not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Now get this. For the love of Christ constraineth us. He's getting down. You can see he begins dealing with motivations in this. And again, so I just want you to see how that tied into our problem with hypocrisy today. And he's telling, listen, understand this. One day you are going to stand at a judgment seat of Christ to give an account of your life, of those talents that he gave you and what you did with them. And he's going to reward you accordingly at that time. But that day is going to happen. I don't know how many of you have ever here had to stand before a judge. Now, I can't say that I have. I've been in a courtroom where I was a witness to something where somebody had to, was it there? But you can see at times, especially if it's somebody the first time before a judge, and this is just a human judge, that there's a level of fear there because they know the power that's been invested in that man and the say he is going to have over that person's life. And when you stand before God, you're not hiding anything. Again, the reality of that judgment should help us to stay away from hypocrisy in our life. It's something we're all prone to because we have flesh. It's who we are. We have this sinful nature. But again, because we have God's Holy Spirit indwelling us, we certainly can live a life that is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It comes down to our surrender and saying, Lord, help. Where He has the heart. Where it starts with every head bowed and every eye closed.